Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone in here this morning to the Clay County Corner, as we do each Thursday morning at 9 a.m. here on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. We'd really appreciate you tuning us in, and we hope we'll have some interesting information today. Coach Rob Edwards is here with us this morning. We're going to talk a little bit of basketball. We may talk about last year's finale and this year's beginning and some stuff in between and kind of the uncertainty of things going on. And we'll do that here in a little bit. But first, of course, we want to thank the folks that make this possible here each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. And we'll remind everyone that there will be a rebroadcast this evening at 7 o'clock and that these shows will be repeated on the streaming of the Del Holler Horizon website. Tell you, this coronavirus thing got your mind kind of wandering off sometimes with new cases and stuff. I know of course, it is a serious problem here in our neighboring counties around, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. And we've got a couple of health announcements to make, but we want to thank everyone that makes this show possible here each Thursday morning through the efforts of the Clay County Chamber, the three-star committee, and all the great folks that advertise on this station, and remind everyone that if you would like to be a sponsor of the Clay County Corner, to give the folks a call up at the main office, and that's up in across the state line, even though we do have our broadcasting tower out at Midway. This is our Clay County radio station. So, you know, tune into it when you can during the day. And I know we do have community calendar announcements and things like that are made throughout the day. So you can find out some of the things that are going on in Clay County. And I know folks are all the time saying, well, I didn't know that happened. So you need to tune in to the radio station and you maybe find out some of the things that you didn't know about here that's happening in and around the county. But with that, I think we'll take a little short break, work in a few words from those great sponsors, and we'll be back just in a few minutes. And Coach Edwards and I are going to talk a little basketball after we go through a couple of community announcements. We'll be back just in a minute.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
The opioid epidemic is affecting countless lives, including young adults. Did you know approximately 45% of opioid prescriptions to adolescents are made by dentists, often after wisdom teeth removal? These drugs carry risks, but you can help reduce your risk or the risk for a loved one. If prescribed an opioid, ask your dentist to consider limiting prescriptions to 3 days, using over-the-counter pain relievers, and properly disposing of unused medications. For more information, go to shatterproof.org. This has been a message from Shatterproof, United Healthcare, and this station.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone back with us and hope you're listening closely to all those commercials that we're on. But a couple of other things here. We want to remind everyone that at the end of the show today, we will be giving away one of those ice cream cakes over to Dairy Queen. And we've got some names that have called in. And if you want your name on that list, you need to give us a call here at 243-5574. And I think you have to add 931 now to call anywhere. So need to add that, I guess, the area code in there. And we'll be reading those names off here about halfway through. And then I've got a couple other announcements here. One very important announcement, and that is it's already began this morning at 9 o'clock, that free flu shot event. And it's out at the old high school parking lot, which is out on Brown Street, where it's always been. For those folks here in the county, and this is a special free flu shot event through the local health departments in Tennessee. They're doing this all over the state today, and it began at 9 o'clock this morning and will go on until 4 p.m. this afternoon. So, as their little thing down here said, for not only the flu but all the other things going around, protect yourself, protect your loved ones, and protect your entire community. And that is some pretty good advice. And and on the things going on with the virus, if you're a fairly intelligent and far thinking person, you don't need a governor to tell you need to wear a mask and tell you have to. That's kind of like your mama used to tell you had to wash behind your ears every morning. You're supposed to. And after a while, you kind of figured out, hey, I might as well get this done before she tells me to. And it's kind of with the mask, that's something that we do know that it's helped to stop the spread of this thing. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later on in the show about the number of cases that are going on and things like that. And also today, from beginning at 2 o'clock here on the at the Courthouse Square, over on the side where the antique store is, I think we're going to have a vehicle set up there. They're going to be giving away turkeys there beginning at 2 o'clock and lasting until probably, they said, maybe about 3:45 or so, or till I guess till they run out of turkeys. So they'll be doing that this afternoon. And so come down and get yourself a turkey if you get here in time. And I know with that, I guess, Rob, good morning.
Good morning, Coach. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Coach?
I'm glad to be here.
That's like Thomas Weaver and I. We greet each other with howdy, Thomas, and howdy, Thomas. it's a pleasure having you here this morning. And, I really don't know. I guess, Coach, I think we might start out. Let's talk about the finish up of last year a little bit. And kind of how that all finally played out. And, it's something I've wondered about. Has the state ever recognized, people have still been recognized those 8 teams in any way that would have been in the state tournament, or they just kind of dropped that? Or
it was just dropped by on their part. They didn't really send out anything or declare anybody a state finalist. We never heard anything else other than the tournament's canceled.
Just kind of shut up and go home?
Correct, yeah.
It doesn't feel right, does it? That because, those 8 teams in all of those divisions and any of the others that were actually in the state tournament, I'm sure you feel like, and I know I do, that there should have been some type of special recognition for those teams. And there still should be.
Well, you know as well as I do that all those kids on all those teams put in a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of hours. And, you know, even in the summers, they sacrifice hanging out with their friends so they can go to camps and try to get better. And to have it in the way it is, just heartbreaking, you know, especially for the seniors across the state.
Yeah, it's just the abruptness of it. And, of course, they kind of dangle the carrot out in front of you there for a month or two that, you know, we're going to try to do this, we're going to try to do that. I guess really and truly knowing at that time that there wasn't any possibility of that happening.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like it wasn't going to happen after it was pushed back a couple weeks, and, you know, you just see things kind of rolling downhill from there. I just always felt like we probably would not get to play it.
Like I said, they're still need that. Those kids need them better than other, especially your seniors, saying, you know, hey, that we were a state finalist, and because of the situation, we didn't get a chance to finish our season out.
Yeah, one thing that we were able to do is contact TSSAA, and, of course, you have to have all your information, team photo, and those type of things submitted for the state tournament program about 3 weeks prior
right.
to the state tournament. So we were able to get that sent to us, and I was able to get those printed off for those guys. So that's a little something. That's not much, but it's a little something.
That was something I was going to ask too. You know, about if they, you know, they'd had time to have those things printed up and get them out. And you know, kind of when we first went to the state tournament, like I told the kids that when you get your picture in that book, you've done something.
Right.
You know, if you win, hey, that's great. That's great. But, you know, there's one thing about a tournament like that. You know, you get looking around. I don't know in our district how many coaches there are, but us coaches that have been in the business, every one of us but one's going to lose that last ball game.
That's right. Yeah, that's how it goes.
That's the way it goes. But that getting your picture in the program is very important. And from there, you know, everything there is just added icing to the cake.
I can attest. I know in 06 when we got there, that's one of the first things I did when I got to the Murphy Center down there was go seek out a program and buy one and flip to our page so I could see it's in there. So it's pretty special.
That kind of makes you know, hey, we are here, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay, like I said, at the end of the year, all that happened. And then I know you were making preparations for spring practice, those kind of things, because, you know, unbeknownst to all of us, we didn't realize that this was going to turn into what it is, what we're going through right now. But then, you know, kind of tell us what happened through the summer a little bit.
Well, in the spring, after the season's over, we'll start making plans for summer camps and tryouts and those type of things for once school ends. And so, of course, we had our camp schedule planned out and had it on the calendar. And as it crept closer and closer, first we were going to go to Western Kentucky. That was the first one that canceled on us. They called and told me that they weren't going to be able to host their camp. So from there, it just it just kept crawling along. And once a week, I'd get a call and say, Coach, we're not going to be able to have camp this summer. And next thing you know, here we are at the end of May. School's getting ready to be out, and we don't have any camps to go to. So.
Well, now, on a personal side, what did that do for your summer?
Well, it kind of made me realize how much time I actually spend doing basketball during the summer. But we were able to get in a few days in June just practicing. We had to do social distancing and those type of things, you know, it's hard to do much when you have to social distance in basketball because
yeah.
pretty much everything you do, you know, you're pretty close to somebody else. But we were able to get in a little bit of time, just like everybody else.
Okay, now let's go a little bit further. What about you yourself, Coach? I know, you know, from prior experience myself that the summers were always tied up, and this summer you hadn't been tied to the gym, had you, this spring and summer?
No, you know, it was, I would have a kid sometimes text me or call me and say, hey, can I get in and shoot tonight? And in most cases, you know, if I was around, I'd always let them in, let them shoot and, hang out a little while and, get some shots up. But outside of that, no, it was really different. It was really different. And I'll be honest with you, I missed it. I missed the summer has always been, one of my favorite times because that's when I think a lot of the chemistry, you know, your team kind of gets set and you know what role people are going to play, and it's just a great time. No pressure on you. You know, you go play a game, and if you lose it, well, you got another game in an hour, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah, and let me ask you this too: it kind of gives you time, maybe a little bit, to recharge and refresh yourself? I know over the summer that you did a whole lot of hiking this summer. You visited some places and things like that. But I'm sure that you hadn't been able to do. For quite a while. Did it kind of maybe refresh and if you recharge your battery a little bit?
Well, I don't know that my battery needed recharge really, but yeah, my wife and I were able to get out and do a lot of things. We were able to, we went out west, and the first time she'd been out there, and we had a good time and saw a lot of things. And just here in Tennessee, I never really realized, man, there's so many things to see here. You know, we visited probably 30 or 40 waterfalls in the spring and summer.
So it has been a different experience for you, and I know that, as you said, you know, when you're coming off of a team like you had last year, your battery got charged up pretty good right there at the end, and I guess it had to remain on full charge because there wasn't anything to discharge it this year.
No, it's just kind of been there waiting, you know. It's sitting on charge and ready for this week, next week to start.
Okay, now let's take a little short break. We'll come back and we'll talk about what's fixed to come up and kind of the uncertainty that may still, you know, be there in front of this year's basketball season. With that, we'll be back just in a minute.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
The opioid epidemic is affecting countless lives, including young adults. Did you know approximately 45% of opioid prescriptions to adolescents are made by dentists, often after wisdom teeth removal? These drugs carry risks, but you can help reduce your risk or the risk for a loved one. If prescribed an opioid, ask your dentist to consider limiting prescriptions to 3 days, using over-the-counter pain relievers, and properly disposing of unused medications. For more information, go to shatterproof.org. This has been a message from Shatterproof, United Healthcare, and this station.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Something in the host should never do is turn their microphone off. Anyway, it seems like in the last little bit we've had more glitches here of things. I guess we're getting kind of carefree and careless maybe sometimes here. But we're glad to be back, and Coach Edwards is here with me this morning. Let's do one little complete, wrap up of last year's season. Just kind of walk us through the last couple of weeks there, Rob, of what happened in the season, and then we'll talk about what's coming up this year.
Well, we went into the district tournament as the one seed and ended up winning the district tournament and matched up with, it's been a while, I can't remember who we played there in the region tournament first round. We hosted a game, maybe Richard Hardy is who we hosted and won that game, then went and played again. It's been a day or two, but I do remember this. We played Monterey in the championship game, and we trailed pretty much the whole game, and then got back pretty close to the end. Just couldn't pull it out, and so I had to travel for the Sub-State game to Eagleville, which is a heck of a trip anyway. But I felt good about that game all along.
Yeah,
watching
I think everyone did. They just kind of felt like that. This is kind of a team of destiny.
Yeah, I felt like we had a good opportunity to go down there on the road and win, and of course it played out that way. You know, our guys played well, they had the Class A Mr. Basketball, and I think we held him maybe to well below his average. I don't remember what he had, but did a good job on him, and guys made shots, and pretty close game at halftime, and then pulled away in the fourth quarter, ended up winning by 12, 15 points or something.
Hey, and that was a big night for both of us, wasn't it?
It was. I was pretty humble there after the game when you came down there and we took the picture, so I appreciate that.
And, that is, the record for the most Bulldog wins here. That's kind of what I thought, records are great. They would be great, I guess, if you could hold them forever. But also, they're top of the ladder, and everyone else wants to shoot for that. And I'm sure, most of them go into coaching. We don't think about that when we start, but it's great to still be around for the celebration of things like that. And I know the number of years you've been here, and I've always said that coaches that want to dedicate themselves to actually teaching kids how to play basketball, will find them a good Class A school and find them a home and stay there, and the results are going to be good. And once again, you proved that out.
Well, I appreciate that, Thomas. It's been really good. Clay County's been really good to me. I've great players make great coaches. So I've had a lot of great players through the years, and really helped me come along. And, it's just a great community to be in, great support. Like you said, these Class A schools, I wouldn't want to go anywhere else, really.
Okay, now, but there's one other thing we hadn't talked about, and that is not this year, but next season. There are some changes coming up, aren't there?
There are. With the reclassification, I assume is what you're talking about. Our district's going to look a little bit different. We're going to lose, we lose three teams out of our basketball district. We lose Monterey, who's going to AA. We lose Jackson County, who's going to AA. And we lose Trousdale, who's going to west to another district with East Robertson, Joe Burns, and those schools.
And there's also a realignment in the direction we go for sub-state?
Correct.
I guess that kind of started last year, didn't it? But we're no longer going toward East Tennessee like we did for a number of years there.
Well, we'll be going back that direction. Right now we're going southwest, I guess you would say, like at Eagleville last year,
yeah,
Eagleville,
yeah.
Moore County and those schools. And then, next year with the realignment, we'll be going back towards, Chattanooga area.
Okay, so it's back that direction.
It is, yeah. Yeah, we'll go back to, you know, for years we were Region 4, District 7A, and then last year we were last four years we've been Region 3, District 6A, and now we're going to go back to Region 4, 7A again. Kind of like, feels like what it should be. You know?
Yeah, I know going, of course, I think more of that of being west than I do, the southwest. But that's a pretty tough, really and truly, it's a pretty tough change, isn't it?
It is. The last few years have been tough if you're fortunate enough to make it that far. And it's tough. When you get to that point, there's 16 teams left playing. You just don't have an easy game typically.
Right.
But it's definitely a change for us.
And I think I saw something beginning, I guess is that this year, about the region play, how it's going to be set up this year?
TSSAA at their administrator meeting last week determined that with the pandemic conditions, once we get to district and region play, that the higher seed will host all the way through. There will not be a central location, like we won't go to Livingston and play four games a night. It'll be a higher seed will play.
Okay. Does that mean that whoever finishes number one in the regular season will be the host school, or?
They will host, for example, there's eight teams in our district. So one would host eight, two would host seven in the first round, three would host six, four would host five, and then those winners, the higher seed will host. So if one wins their first two games, then they'll host the championship game.
So that there will be no central gatherings like we've had in the past.
Correct.
But other than that, everything from there on is pretty much the same.
Yes.
Tell you what, we still haven't got the next year yet.
No, we haven't.
but right now, I think it's about time for a break, so I'll read the birthdays, and we'll come back in a minute and continue on with Coach Edwards. Birthdays this week, celebrating a birthday, Kate McLaren on the celebrating the birthday, and then Charlene Cunningham celebrated a birthday on the 18th, and her husband Mike called this one in. And then also on the 17th of this month, Mark Poindexter celebrated a birthday. And on the 18th, Grace McLaren celebrated a birthday. And today, Dennis Miller is celebrating his birthday. And with that, we will be back in a few minutes. And then toward the end of the show, we will draw out a winner of that ice cream cake. And we'll do that. But right now, we'll take a little short break. And Coach Edwards and I will be back here just in a few minutes.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
The opioid epidemic is affecting countless lives, including young adults. Did you know approximately 45% of opioid prescriptions to adolescents are made by dentists, often after wisdom teeth removal? These drugs carry risks, but you can help reduce your risk or the risk for a loved one. If prescribed an opioid, ask your dentist to consider limiting prescriptions to 3 days, using over-the-counter pain relievers, and properly disposing of unused medications. For more information, go to shatterproof.org. This has been a message from Shatterproof, United Healthcare, and this station.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is. A date convenient because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average on winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Once again, here with Coach Rob Edwards this morning. Coach, I guess it's time we do a little preview of what's coming up. I think you've got a schedule there in front of you, which is, I guess we'd call that a tentative schedule, wouldn't we? And it's kind of what you're looking forward to, players coming back, things like that.
Yeah, Coach, we've got, we just kind of go down the roster here first. We'll have one senior, that'd be Gunner Silk. He's player point guard and three spots some for us, does a good job, and always guards the other team's best player. I mean, that's just what Gunner does. So
it seems to me like when something really, really neat, like a special three needs hitting or a big steal needs to be made, so it seems like Gunner has always done that in his entire career, hasn't he?
He has. He has a knack for making the big play at the right time. And he's a super athlete, very strong, athletic kid. I mean, he just and just kind of has a nose for the ball late in the game. So.
But he has been a little bit injury prone, hadn't he, over the years?
He's missed a few because of different injuries and things. But we're hoping that his senior year, he has a healthy senior year for sure.
The broken nose, that's kind of plagued him forever.
He's been hitting the nose more than any kid I've ever met. But he still has that mask. I asked him just a few weeks ago if he still had that mask just in case.
He still sticks that nose in there, though.
He does. He's not scared to get it in there. We'll have three juniors on the roster. We'll have Grant Strong and Jeff Spivey and Eli Smith. And those guys are all going to play big roles for us. Of course, Grant was our leading scorer last season as a sophomore, and I thought made a lot of progress as the year went along. And, it's going to be a probably our go-to guy down the stretch. You know, when we need a bucket, we'll find Grant and get the ball in his hands.
And I saw this week, I think, in the Tennessean that the sports writer down there, he did a top 40 players in the mid-state or something. I know that Grant was included on that, which I guess is putting a target on his back.
I think he probably had a target on his back, at least in our district before that. But he's a special player and offensively, and he's as good as any kid I've ever coached, and he can just score when he wants to. But he's going to have a great couple years ahead of him right here. So we expect big things from him.
And the other two there, I think both of them are still developing, aren't they, a whole lot?
Now, Jeff, I thought Jeff really, toward the end of last season, Jeff has become more than just a shooter. You know, he's a good defender now. He's long. He's a good rebounder. He got to where he can drive the ball pretty good, take a couple dribbles and elevate and knock down that jump shot. Eli's a guy that's similar to Gunner a little bit in his skill set. Defensively, he can guard about anybody on the floor, just about any position.
And dropping on down.
We'll go through. We have four sophomores: Keaton Arms, Bryce Bailey, and Jimmy Burchett, and John Hamilton. Those guys. A couple of those guys played some minutes last year. Keaton probably played more than anybody out of that group. But again, those guys are going to be thrown into, they're in the top eight. So they're going to be thrown into a big role here. The thing I like about these sophomores is, you know, in football, they've had to play the role of upperclassmen for the last 2 years. And so this year in basketball, they're going to have to do the same thing. They're going to have to play that upperclassman role as sophomores. And I think they're all capable of contributing.
And I know last year, Keith was slowed down a little bit last year with injuries and problems. But toward the end of the season, he was a pretty steadfast basketball player, wasn't he?
He was. He came along really well and developed. And, you know, as a freshman, you know this, Coach. It's hard to come in and understand how aggressive you have to be in high school versus junior high. It's a big difference.
You know, I always thought, you know, if you have a pretty good freshman, if you get one out of every three ball games, if he's a starter or whatever, one out of three ball games with him, then the next year it goes up a little bit to two out of three.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then the next year it goes up to three out of three after they make it to that next level.
Right. It's a progression. There's no doubt. It just takes some time to get into to learn the feel and understand the physicality of the game at the high school level. Eight freshmen on the roster. Big freshman class here. Wyatt Browning, Andrew Smith, Joseph Birdwell, Weston Birdwell, Xander Hale, Braden Allred, Austin Anderson, and Colton Anderson. And those guys are, they're going to play. And there might be a couple of those guys that get a minute or two in varsity, but for the most part, there's a Andrew Meadows has about an 18-game JV schedule that those guys are going to play.
And you talk about, you know, the top eight there. I know John Hamilton. I think John, physically, I think maybe, you know, his body is catching up with his size. I know you've probably noticed every day how much more dexterous he's become over the time that he's not I guess we wouldn't call him clumsy, but he does have big feet.
He does.
But I think he has really developed quite a bit. And looked like that eight-man rotation there, as you said, that looks pretty sturdy, doesn't it?
It does. I don't really see a weak spot in there. You know, obviously, each one of these guys has something that they bring to the table. And they all have something that they can work on to get better. But, you know, we all do that as a coach. I've got stuff I can work on to get better, too. So.
If you don't learn something every day, it's time you find something else to start all over new with, isn't it?
That's right. So, I look for big things out of these guys. I'm excited to get us started.
Okay. Now, and starting, I know that you were originally going to do, I guess it was a Hall of Fame game. I think maybe a couple of those fell out, didn't it? Fell through.
They did. Initially, we were supposed to play White's Creek on the 19th, and they called and said because of the quarantine conditions, they weren't allowed to play. So then we rescheduled, and we got First Baptist Academy in Knoxville. Of course, then I had some guys that got in quarantine, so we felt it would be better for us to just hang around close to home and not travel. And so we ended up having to cancel that one. But now we do Saturday right now. We're going to Scott High, and we're going to play a couple games up there Saturday.
Seeing to get there, you go just as far as you can on Highway 52 and hang a left.
Yeah, you just keep going on 52. And
I can't go to the end of it,
yeah.
I believe. But it's not the end of the world.
No, you can't get there from here.
And you're going to be playing what, two games there?
We'll play two games. Right now, we were scheduled to play Oneida and Knox Webb. Oneida's boys' team's in quarantine, so that one got changed to Jellicoe. I think we play Jellicoe now.
Where's the Jellicoe? It isn't Tennessee.
It's north of Knoxville somewhere. It's right on the Kentucky line, I think. But they're a single-A school, and I think it could be double-A. I'm not sure, but, I don't know much about them. We've never played them, to my knowledge.
What about the other, Knoxville?
Knox Webb, again, don't know much about these guys. They pretty successful last season, and I don't know how many they got back, but they do have, I think last year they had one of the best point guards in the state as a freshman. So should be a good challenge for us to figure out how to guard him.
Are they a public or private?
Couldn't tell you. I don't know.
So you just know you got to go play them.
I just know, whatever the jersey says, and we get there, we'll just...
If they got an optic color on, we walk
right
there and guard them.
That's right.
I saw, too, I think, on the Twitter post that the East Robertson game had been canceled. You think that has anything to do with Groves having a knee injury or anything?
Well, it's possible. Coach Catan told me that his kids were quarantined till the 25th. But yeah, I did know prior to that Groves had that knee injury, so he may quarantine them for a little while longer until Groves gets healthy.
I think we were, all the fans here, we were looking forward to that little matchup there. Of course, they're totally two different styles of basketball players, but I know they had a great matchup last year down at East Robertson. Where both of them had pretty good ball games.
We did. We were able to. I think they had the ball. We had a 1-point lead with a few seconds left, and they had the ball with the opportunity to win it, and shot just didn't go in for them. But it was a fun game to coach, and I'm sure it was even more entertaining just sitting up there watching.
I don't know sometimes, Coach, and I know the Groves kid down there is the son of Carlos Groves, a previous player down there. I think they won a state tournament or two with him, and he played, of course, up at the University of Tennessee, and I reckon he is. Probably maybe a better football player, I suppose, than he is basketball player, but I know he's a good basketball player.
He is. I think he has several Division I. I think he has some SEC offers in football as a wide receiver, so he's definitely a good football player.
But you want to take a little look through the schedule a little bit, or have we pretty well covered all the personnel?
Yeah, we can start here with, like I say, we're at Scott High this Saturday. Something else that we might ought to touch on real quick, Coach, is because right now at Clay County, we're not restricting attendance or anything, but there are a lot of schools that are. An example is Saturday at Scott County, we only get 60 tickets for our spectators to go up there and watch the games. So what we're doing with those is we're giving each one of our players two tickets each. And that's pretty much going to be the amount of tickets that we have. And there's some other places we'll have to do that. I know Trousdale County is going to do that, and Monterey is going to do that as well. And I think Eagleville is going to do that next Saturday. So, make sure you check with, if you're planning on traveling to one of those places, make sure you check and try to find out if there are any restrictions or not. Don't want people to travel to Monterey and get up there and not be able to get in.
Well, do you know anything about the TACA passes or TLSAA passes? Are they going to accept those or anything?
That varies by school. That's a school decision. And, for example, I can tell you that Trousdale's not going to accept those. He sent me an email the other day and said they're not accepting any type of passes. You have to have a ticket there to get in. But Eagleville, for example, I think they are going to accept those. So it just varies by the school.
Okay, and what about Saturday? You know anything about that?
I don't know. I'll have to find out about passes for Saturday. I just don't know right now, but I'll definitely find out for you.
That is a ticketed event.
It is a ticketed event, yes.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and look down the schedule a little bit there.
Well, we've got with East Robertson being canceled now, and I'll say this: I'm looking. Coach Walker and I are looking for somebody to play next Tuesday. We posted on the TWSAA bulletin board, and we've got the Coaches Association posted on Twitter and their website for us. So, you know, if somebody were to call us today or tomorrow or Saturday and say, "Hey, we'll come play," there could be a game at Clay County High School Tuesday night. But as of right now, there's not. But and I think it's going to be like that all year long, probably.
What's that second game there?
At Eagleville, the rematch, I guess, from last year's sub-state game. We're going down there on a Saturday because it's such a long trip. That's going to be a 2 o'clock tip. The girls will tip off at 2 o'clock. We are going to play a couple JV games there. Talked to Coach McLaren this morning. We're going to play a girls and a boys JV game next Saturday at Eagleville. And again, that's a limited amount of tickets. I don't know the number just yet. I think those are going to be digital tickets that you'll have to go online and buy. Each school does it differently. So it's just going to be one of those years where we just have to go day by day and figure out what we're doing.
But things are pretty good safe to watch a game at home this year.
As of right now, we want everybody to come and you will be, have to have your temp taken prior to coming in, have to wear a mask when you come in. But I think if you want to see a basketball game, you're probably willing to do those things.
You know, I know with Eagleville, that kind of, you know, like after we played Moore County in the state tournament, we put them on the schedule and became a pretty good series there for a number of years where we did a home and home every year. It's a great competition and it's a great basketball tradition there.
It is, and Eagleville, we kind of have a little connection with them. Even I think my first year coaching or second year coaching, we started going to camp at Eagleville in the summer and developed a relationship with those coaches, and those coaches have moved on to be administrators and different things now, but we still have that relationship, and our kids know their kids, and we look forward to maybe keeping them on the schedule if we can.
I guess Coach Buddy Page still the girls coach when you all started, or?
I do not remember that. I do not know.
That goes back before he was a classmate of mine in Middle Tennessee.
Right.
Looking on down, Coach.
We travel to Macon County on December the 1st. Then we start our district schedule at home on December the 4th. We'll host Clark Range, and later that week we'll host Gordonsville, Gordonsville, I think, pick number 3 in the preseason poll, but I expect them to be a really strong opponent as the season goes along.
You know, I looking at that, you know, it's kind of tough in a way. It's not bad as it once was, but I can remember the schedule maybe that I inherited. The first 3 teams we played every year were like Pickett County, Rickman, and Clark Range, none of whom played football.
Right.
Which kind of gave them an advantage right off the bat over us in district play.
Yeah. You know, we've got.
You've got a few games under your belt.
We've got a few, yeah. We've got a few where we. And Gordonsville, they're still in football, so they haven't got to start yet either with basketball. But
at least this weekend.
Right, yeah. Trousdale County, we go to Trousdale County on the 11th, go to Monterey on the 15th, and then Eagleville comes to us on the 18th, which I think is the last day of school before Christmas. And then that next day, we're going to go to Whitwell, which is a new team on the schedule. For years and years, we've played Van Buren County, and they didn't want to schedule us this year for whatever reason. So we had to find somebody to play, and Whitwell popped up, and so we're going to go there, and they're going to come to us later.
I know that They haven't been real strong in boys the last few years, but they in the past, historically, they have had some pretty good girls and boys basketball teams over there.
They have. Girls, I think, in the last few years have been stronger than the boys, for sure. Now they won a state championship in football just a couple years ago, but you know, their boys basketball was pretty average. Then over Christmas break, we've got the first week off, and then we're going back to York Institute in Jamestown, and we're going to drive that road 3 days in a row, which is not a great drive, but it's a good tournament. It's been a good tournament for us. You know, we've played really good teams, and they treat our kids really well, so we're going to go back up there. Then we continue in January with all district games for the most part, the rest of the way through, with just a couple exceptions. We host Jackson on the 5th, and we host Pickett on the 8th.
And they both return a pretty good core of teams, don't they?
They do. Jackson gets back some of their better players. And you know, they're going to be good defensively. They're hard to score against. They're real gritty and physical. Pickett returns all of their guys except for just a couple, but they picked up a couple, take their place. So, you know, we're looking forward to that meeting for sure. We go to Red Bull and to Gordonsville. Whitwell comes to us. Then we're back in district play. Trousdale home, Monterey home. 3 on the road then. Clark Range, Jackson and Pickett on the road. That gets us into February. February the 5th, we host Red Bullen. February the 6th, we host Macon County, which will be senior night. And then on the 12th, we'll travel to East Robertson.
Okay, now looking down through there, Monterey returns how many players, Coach? You know for sure?
He had 8 seniors. He graduated 8 seniors. He's going to return 2 starters. And then a lot of other kids to fill in the spot.
Okay, and Clark Range?
Clark Range lost their 2 best players, but they're going to get back a good core. They're not, you know, and they could beat us 3 times this year. They're not super talented, but they're going to play extremely hard.
Kyle's still there?
He's not. Shane Mundy is the coach now, and Coach Pyle moved on to York Institute. He's an assistant there, I believe.
Okay, I think he was in the running for head coach until I guess they brought back an old timer. They coached back a few years ago. He was beginning coaching maybe about the time that I was getting ready to leave it. And that was Coach Roy Whiting, and I think he's been out of the business for what, maybe 10, 15 years.
He's been out for a while, but he's back.
He's back, and okay, and looking on down at some of the folks coming up, as you said, Pickett County, of course, will be strong again. Trousdale, physically, they may be one of the best teams that we play every year, but it seems like they can't gel, it seems like their boys can for some reason, but physically, it seems like they're always tough and are capable of beating anyone on a given night.
Well, they're always one of those teams that I always feel like, at least, if you get in the game and they start making shots from the perimeter, you may be in trouble. You know, they're gonna rebound the ball, they're gonna get second opportunities, and they're gonna defend well. Typically, they don't shoot well from the outside, but if they start making shots, it could be a long night for you. And it's definitely a team that you don't want to see in the postseason.
Right.
Because
like they get tougher every year about that thing.
Right.
And Red Bullen.
Well, Red Bullen, they have a new coach. Coach Owens resigned, and I can't remember the guy's name right now. I'm sorry, but I don't know what they'll have, to be honest with you. They lost about everybody.
Right. I mean, they lost the MVP of the district last year, and with the new coach. But then once again, if there's any team that gets up and has blood in their eyes when they walk in the door, it is Red Bull in Springs, isn't it?
It is. It's always a big game when we play them, either at Red Bull or at home, either one. So, you know, there's not really a night we can take off on the schedule. We've got to be ready to go every night.
You know, this looks like maybe the toughest schedule that that you ever put together.
Well, it could be with the addition of East Robertson and, you know, for sure. And then the tournament at York is always tough. And, of course, every district game is going to be tough. It's a fight to fight every night. And we know that going in, and that's something that we talk about all the time is, you know, we just can't take games off and can't take plays off.
You know, and looking down through there, it looks like probably that the two with Eagleville and the two with East Robertson could both be against top 10 teams that aren't in our district.
Yeah, that's true. You know, Eagleville, they always have it's a strong program. It has been for years, and they've always been competitive. They've been to the state tournament several times and been really close several times. So, and of course, East Robertson was in the state tournament as well last year. They won their sub-state game. So yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun to watch.
And I believe, of course, Eagleville, I think they're the last Class A high school in Rutherford County. All the rest of them have got 3,000 or 4,000 students in them.
They are, you know, and they're teetering, getting pretty close here. And you know, the next classification will be 2 more years, and
yeah.
You know, they could bump up to Double A's.
And you know, and they're in kind of one of those positions like Monterey is. That I don't think there are any school regulations in Rutherford County that. Where students can move around and transfer from eighth grade to freshman basically anywhere they want to within the county. I think that's the way it is. I'm not sure because, you know, we do know there's a lot of kids that move around there in Rutherford County. And that, you know, if there's a player who is a pretty good triple A player in basketball that knows he's not going to get to play a whole lot there at Riverdale or Blackman or one of those places, he looks over and says, hey, I could probably be a star over at Eagleville.
Yeah, and they've had those before. You know, they've had a couple kids move in there that's really made a difference in their program through the years.
And that being that small school there is an advantage for them in ways. But they are growing, and it's a nice drive down there. And we're looking forward to this schedule this year. And, golly, Rob, we're about to run out of time.
Well, let me say one more thing, Tom, if you would. I just want to reiterate that we'll try to keep everybody informed with our Coach Meadows does a good job on our Facebook page and our Twitter, whatever that's called, Twitter account of getting the information out there. So if we are playing somewhere and tickets are limited, we'll make sure we get that on there. And you know, just bear with us. And as it's been for the last several months, it's just a fluid situation, so it can change daily. But we appreciate folks coming to watch us.
Okay. I guess I'll let you reach in here and pull me out a number out of here. We'll give away a birthday cake.
There you go.
All righty. Let's see who we have got here today, who is a winner of one of those delicious cakes. I'm going to have a drum roll here. It looks like Dennis Miller has won the cake today. So congratulations, Dennis. You need to come over by the chamber and pick up your coupon for your card, take it over to Dairy Queen to get one of those delicious ice cream cakes. And with that, I guess it's about time that we signed off. I was going to do a little bit of catching up on our coronavirus thing here, but looks like we got to having so much fun that we just kept on going. But we want to remind everyone, you know, to wear those masks, be careful. I do know that we have, I think maybe yesterday we had 12 new cases here in the county, and that's not good for a small county like this. But, you know, luckily so far, you know, the folks, the seriousness of the cases here haven't been all that bad. And I know Coach Edwards knows firsthand, you know, with some of his kids, that I think most of them have made it through that without any type of real physical difficulties. And we hope that with the coming of the vaccine, that, you know, this thing can be brought under control. But with that, I guess it's time we've got the doors all shut to the old building here. And once again, we invite you to come back and join us next Thursday morning at 9 o'clock here on WVFB-FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And until then, you know, may the good Lord bless and keep you. And we hope we'll meet you again here next week. And with that, I guess we'll say good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.